Amazing. So, if you don't already know, and I'm sure you all do, my name is Matt, and I am worship pastor here. I should have said that before I did the interview and the spotlight on worship, but there we go. So, I've been here a year, and I'm from Liverpool originally. And do you know what? If you're new in this city, I just want to encourage you. I don't know what your last few weeks has been like, but you know, this is a wonderful city. This is a wonderful place to live in, a really special place. So I really hope that the more you spend time here and the more that you are here, you know, that you just encounter that special city and grow in this place. I was thinking that the more that I live here, I realized that the children of Israel must have been looking for the promised land, which is Liverpool. I'm not sure about my theology on that, but honestly, I just love this place so much. I need to check my theology with Ed, I think, on that one, but I'll do that later. So this passage here, Matthew's Gospel, and Matthew is written to Jewish believers who are going through a pretty tough time. So they are under some persecution. And so this gospel Matthew has written is like a, come on, like keep going. Like remember what it's all about. Like don't forget. I know this is hard times. I know this is really tough. But remember what it's all about. And so here where we look at Jesus and his ministry in chapter 18, Jesus is like at the beginning of the end. So he's just finished his ministry in Galilee, or is just finishing his ministry in Galilee. And he's about to go to Jerusalem, and he's heading towards Jerusalem. And we know that that is the place where obviously he dies and he rises again. So this is like the beginning of the end. So what he says in these passages are really important. They're to take note of. They're to take note here. So when we read them, Jesus has had a similar chat with Peter in chapter 16 about what's going on here. But actually, this particular passage is written to a wider group of people. It's not a singular one person, but it's a group of people. And so this group of people is the church, and it's looking at how we live with Jesus at the center as the church. And so whether you've been here for 10 years or whether you've been here for 10 minutes and you're late for church today and you've just walked in, you know, it doesn't matter. This message is for you. It's for the church. And so these words, the verbs here, like the loosing and the binding that we're going to look at, they are specifically, you know, they're plural, they're for everybody, they're the loosing and binding together. So as we talk about these things, I had this funny picture that when I was thinking about the response, and I'm not going to make us do this, but I had a picture of us all like holding hands in a circle, like we're all in this together. Like this isn't just for one person or for a few people here, but this is everybody's responsibility here. So I'm not going to make you all hold hands in a circle. That'd be really cringe. I feel really awkward doing it. But that was the picture that God gave me for this. So there are two promises within this passage, and we're going to look at verse 20 first. And so it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." Another version says, "I will be in the midst of them." I will be in the midst of them, in the very middle of us here. It says, "There I am. There I am." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Did you know that he's here?" So awkward. Did you know he's here? And you know, I had this like funny running commentary when I was thinking about this of someone saying, "Did you know he's here?" And someone goes, "Yeah, you've just told me he's here, but I don't know who he is. Like, who are we actually talking about? You know, he's here." It's like a bit vague, isn't it? And you know, who is he? But Jesus' promise here is that he is in the midst of us right now. And so you may know Jesus, and you may have a really like firm relationship, a good relationship with Jesus. But are we always aware that he's with us when we're gathered with other people who are in his name as well? A few months ago, around March time, at the end of a worship set that we'd led, I kind of like felt like God was doing something in the room, but I'd missed it. And like, I was like, oh man, like that was my responsibility. And that was my job in that moment to like, I don't know, to do something with it. God wanted to partner with me and I missed it. And I actually just got a bit frightened and a bit scared to do it. So I didn't do it. And so I went back to God with it. And I was like, God, like I'm so disappointed with myself. Like, I just feel like that would have been a great moment. And I know that I should have trusted you, but I didn't. And God said, you know, all I want you to do is acknowledge that I'm there. All I want you to do is acknowledge that I'm there. So in that moment up the front, I think I could have, God just wanted me to go, you know, God is here right now in this moment. But in my head, I thought, oh, God's doing something and I need to pull the rabbit out of the hat. Like I need to be the guy that does it, you know, and like, oh, I'm a bit nervous and I'm a bit, like, I don't know what that thing is. And God said, no, Matt, your job is to acknowledge that I am here. So when I got this passage, I was buzzing. I was so made up because I get to acknowledge that he is here right now in the midst of us, in the middle of us, in this very moment right now. If we slow down a little bit, slow down our lives and we think about this moment right now and that Jesus is in this very moment because we're gathered together, it becomes a really precious moment. It becomes a really significant moment here, right now. You know, this isn't yesterday's moment. I don't know what your Saturday looked like. Mine was really great, but this isn't Saturday's moment. And I don't know what your Monday morning looks like, but this isn't Monday morning's moment. This is a very precious moment right now. It won't come again. It's for right now. So slowing down and realizing, you know, there's a moment to be had. And that word moment, it's just, you know, acknowledging that he is here and that we're going to slow down and let him be here and let him be the God that he is. But who, that thing again, who is he? What does that look like? What does it look like, you know, the hat is pulled out in the middle of us rather than from me? You know, the rabbit out the hat, not the hat out the rabbit. That doesn't make sense. The rabbit out the hat. Does that happen like in the middle of us because Jesus is over there? Or what actually happens? What does it look like? And so I wrote down a few things of who I just knew that Jesus was. Some just foundational truths about our faith. And you know that he is our healer. He is our provider. He is our savior. He is the creator of everything that we touch and everything that we see today. In fact, he's the creator of us. And he controls the wind and the rain and the storms. And like we saw before in Psalm 148, they actually like sing his praises along with every animal, along with every being, every angel, every moon, every star. They sing his praises and they proclaim that he is Lord, that he is mighty, that he goes, that he is for us and that he goes ahead of us, that he went before us, that he makes us clean, that he makes me new, and that he is here. That's who Jesus is right here in this moment. He is the epitome of compassion and the epitome of love, and he's here in this very moment. So when we talk about what does it look like for God to be here, you know, it's everything that we need right now. He's the breath that we breathe. He's the start and end. You know, he's all we could ever imagine and need. So if you're a bit down today and you're, you know, trying to take a breath and like, this life is getting me down, this is hard, you know, you're in the right place today because there is love and compassion and a deep breath here for you today because he is the epitome of everything that is good right here, right now. Sometimes I take this moment for granted. I just like, something I do when I get a bit cynical, and please don't judge me on this, but when I am getting cynical, I start to like toss up the amount of meetings that I've been in to do with church. Maybe a church meeting or a meeting preparing for church. And I'm like, it's gotta be in the thousands. It's gotta be in the thousands. And I'm only 28, you know. There's so many meetings to come. Oh, Like, if that's like, if that's my life and what I've been put on this earth to do is be in meetings, oh, like, it makes me more cynical. It makes me more tired. But, you know, that's only if Jesus isn't here in this moment. That's only if I take this moment for granted. You know, when I realize that Jesus is with us when we meet together, oh, I get excited. I'm like, bring on the meetings. Give me the meetings. I'm going to take on more meetings that you can throw at me. Like, because Jesus is here and I'm expectant for him to move here. So that cynical part of me needs to get in the bin. It needs to go away. It's not who I'm meant to be. It's not who I'm meant to be. And it's not, that's forgetting that the creator of all things is here right now with us. He's here. In verse 18, it gives us another promise. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I don't really use these terms, bound and loosed. Like, I needed to simplify this. And so I started thinking about it as tied and untied, just really simple. Just tied and untied. And like, I went so simple that I was even thinking about my shoelaces. I was like, you know, you tie them up and they stay on your feet. You keep them untied and you're falling over. And so there's a practicality to tying and untying. And I wonder, when I'm in that cynical moment where I just think about the meetings that I've been in, what I'm tying up or what I'm untying. And I feel like I'm tying up all that God wants to do here. And so I'm tying it up in the natural because I'm not aware, I don't care, I'm cynical. And so that's actually the thing that's meant to be untied. You know, God being here and being expectant for him is where I'm meant to be untied. You know that term, in Jesus' name? Wow, what a powerful phrase. That's like the untying of the rope. But there are things to be tied up, and it's that same thing, in Jesus' name. You know, I don't know about you, but we have family members who go through sickness, and Becky a year ago was really struggling, or 2 years ago, was really struggling with her asthma. And she spent like 6 months bedbound, like 4 days a week, 5 days a week, like just doing work from her bed. And then she would go and do like a family service and then go back to bed. Or she'd go and do a group and go back to bed. Her asthma was that bad. And it got us down. But we started to think, you know, this is the way that Becky's life looks. This is just okay for us. That's how we acted. We acted like, you know, hopefully it'll get better, but if it doesn't, you know, we'll just carry on. But you know that in Jesus' name, we declare that this isn't all that Becky has for her, or that God has for Becky, or this isn't all that he has for us together. And so we started praying into it, and we started, you know, being expectant that God was going to make Becky better. And he's made you a lot better, hasn't he? And we started, you know, when Becky would get a cold, it'd be like, well, here we go. Here's the next 6 months, like just down the drain. Wasn't it? It was terrible, wasn't it? But now when Becky gets a call, you know, we pray against it and we say, in Jesus' name, this isn't right. This isn't what you have for us as a family. And you know what? It's transformed our lives, hasn't it? The power, Jesus has just transformed our lives in a very practical way. Let's not get used to like the mundane and let it be like a swear word when we say, oh, this is just the way it is. This is just the way things are. That isn't what God has for you today. It isn't what God has for you. And God is going to do good things in your life. He is every good thing. So that means for your life, if he's here, he's got good things for you today. And so we're to be expectant for that. Last week, I met up with a student who wanted to join the worship team. And so we were just chatting about it. And I said, is there anything that I can pray for you for at the end of this meeting? And she said, oh, I'm really struggling to sleep. I'm just not settling properly. And, you know, sleep is an issue. And God, sleep is God-given. You know, sleep is so good. Sleep is so good. But, you know, rest is really important and sleep is really important. And sleep is something that I actually struggle with. I don't sleep very well. And so when I hear someone is struggling with sleep, I'm like, I'm not having this. I'm just not having it. Like, people deserve to sleep and get the rest that they need. And in my life, part of my story is that when I was 16, I started getting dreams that were prophetic from God, and it sounds really weird. And when I explain it to people, I can't find a good way of explaining it that doesn't sound weird. But basically, I had dreams when I was 16 that when I was then 26, they came true, and I was like living the dream. And that thing 10 years ago was just something that I was like, God, one day, if I can reach that, if I can like just see that happen, like it doesn't need to be that actual thing, but if I can reach half of that, God, I'd be so made up if that's what you had for my life. And then God's so good that 10 years later, when I wasn't even expecting it, I was like dropped into this situation where I was like, it was that exact moment, that exact picture. And so God does things in my sleep and gives me dreams in my sleep. And so when I'm going to sleep, I'm like, come on, this is a time for me to rest and receive from God. I'm ready for it. But if I'm not sleeping, and this is something I actually struggle with, is sleeping then. And so I feel like the enemy like robs me of my sleep and makes it so that I don't get good sleep because I'm going to have dreams that are going to benefit my future. And so it all sounds a little bit weird, but you know, God works through my sleep. He works through all things. He's so good. And so I'm expecting even in those moments. But so we prayed for this student, and it wasn't anything special. We didn't turn 92 degrees into a prayer like warrior cafe. No, we were just sitting in the corner, kind of quietly praying, saying, God, in Jesus' name, we declare that this student has a good night's sleep. Amen. And you know, we agreed together when two or three are gathered in my name, you know, they're agreeing that they're, you know, on the same wavelength. And so this student got back to me the next day and said, Matt, I had a full night's sleep. I was like, come on, that's so good. And then she said, not only did I have a full night's sleep, but I actually had a dream where I was on the way to my first day of my job that I'm training in, and I was walking with the sword of the Spirit to my new job. You know, that's aspirational, isn't it? Isn't that exciting? She started university 2 weeks ago and is like, oh my goodness, I can't even sleep, let alone do my course. And God's giving her sleep, and then has given her dreams of one day. You know, it's like the dream is saying, you're on the right path. God is telling her, you do it. Come on, keep on going. And so when I lack sleep, I just think this is something I just have to put up with, something I just have to deal with. But it isn't. It's something that can change in Jesus' name. And it takes me being aware of it for that to happen. Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Guys, it says who is able to do immeasurably more. So we'll never be able to outthink God, but we can definitely be more aware. We can definitely acknowledge when he's here. And remember, this isn't a singular. So this isn't Matt's message, and this isn't this student's message, but this is all of us holding hands together saying, come on, let's do it together. Let's encourage each other. Let me pray for you. When you're having a tough time, let me thank God when you're having a great time. Did anyone see that guy who did the marathon in under 2 hours? So good. I think we have a picture of it. Here he is. I do know his name. I mess it up every time. It's in my Eliud Kipchoge. Okay, so I watched we'll go with that. I'm sorry. I watched the last time he attempted the doing this, and he missed it by 25 seconds. 25 seconds, all that training. And when I was like a really keen runner, he does on the Nike app, he does like this audio run thing where you listen to him talk and he gives you tips along the way. And one of the questions they asked him was, do you run on Christmas Day? He was like, of course I run on Christmas Day. And I was like, what? Like, this guy trained on Christmas Day to miss out by 25 seconds. Wow. That's really tough. But yesterday, he did it. He did it. And actually, I'm in awe of him. I think he's an amazing guy. I think it's incredible. But what I love more is the people who are behind him, the people who are his pacekeepers. If you watch the video, they're like, get in. Come on. We've done it as a team together. We've done it. Those guys, they're my real heroes because, you know, they won't get the credit. They won't get acknowledged. You will struggle to find any of their names on the internet, but you will easily find his name. Guys, we need pace runners. We need people around us. We need to be pace runners for other people around us as well. We need each other. We're better together. We need each other. We need people that have gone further than we've ever gone before, and we need to be bringing people on, saying, no, you can do this. You can do this. There's a reason why in the Bible, running the race is such a great analogy for this life. You know, guys, we're to be expectant together. We're to acknowledge that God is here together. This is something for all of us, not just for one of us. I'm really passionate about this, and like, I'm just buzzing that I got to preach on it and just share some thoughts on it. But this isn't just for me. You know, in this passage, it's for all of us together. Whether you've been coming here 10 minutes, whether you've been coming here 10 years, it's part of all of our responsibility. And just to acknowledge that God is here, right now, and God is in your everyday as well. So I'm expectant to see amazing things in this tent. I'm expectant to see miracles. I'm expectant to see God move here. I'm expectant. I'm ready for it. And I think I need to be ready for it. That's what God's calling us to do, is just to get ready and acknowledge he's here. He does the work. He is the Savior. He's the one that comes and meets us and does these things. But let's not get cynical when we don't see these things happen. You know, let's be expectant that he is still going to move. Can the band come up? And we're just gonna, you know, we're just gonna wait on God. We're just gonna expect him to come. And you know, this might be that you just need that heart softening a little bit. You know, I've been there. I had to say sorry to God for counting all those meetings. Like it was ever about me. Like the meetings were in my honor. They weren't anything to do with me. You know, better is one day in his court than 1,000 elsewhere. Better is one day in a meeting where he is than anywhere else I could ever be. And so why don't we stand together? This is going to be a different response for all of us, but I want you guys to know that God is here and he wants to meet with you. Bring your issues, your problems to him. If you don't have any issues at the moment, give thanks for what he's doing at the moment. We're going to be praying at the side, and we're going to be singing a song called Nothing Else. And really, it's just a prayer that, you know, God, I'm sorry for when I took you for granted. God, I'm sorry when I forgot that you were enough. I'm sorry when I came with my own agenda. You know, bring those things to God. There is a moment where we can say, I'm sorry, but then there's a moment where we move on from that. Let's not stay in the sorry, because there's freedom here today. You know, there's goodness here today. And so we'll be praying on this side if you want prayer and need prayer. But take this time for yourself. We're not in a rush. We're not in a rush. This moment is really important between you and God, an audience of one, just you and him.